You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The UFC returns with their UFC 252 go-home event, UFC Vegas 6, this Saturday, headlined by another big heavyweight bout that just screams all sorts of chaos. What's going on, everybody? Mike Heck here from MMAfighting.com, welcoming you to the UFC Vegas 6 preview show, being joined this week by Jose Youngs and Mr. Alex Kaley, triple threat guys. Jose, next weekend, heavyweight titles on the line. Stipe Miocic defending against Daniel Cormier. It's DC swan song fight. But that's next weekend. This weekend, we have Derek Lewis versus Alexi Olenek at the UFC Apex. And this fight defines everything about 2020 with the styles these guys bring to the table. But you know what, Jose? I am all in on this fight. I need this injected into my veins. I cannot wait to see how this thing plays out. What say you?
Yeah, it's just... Even if you didn't know anything about this main event between Derek Lewis and Alexi Olenek, just have them square off and just read their weights out loud. And it's just baffling. Like, what? Derek Lewis is like 265 pounds on the scale. Alexi Olenek was like 227. And we talked about this, I think, on the A side, where I was like, I bet Alexi Olenek gives up 40 pounds to Derek Lewis and he could still win. So, it's truly a baffling fight, just aesthetically. But if you look at it on paper, how many fights does Alexi Olenek have? 60? How many fights does Derek Lewis have? Half of that. So it's a fascinating fight, stylistic wise, how they handle themselves on the mic, their previous fight records. It's just like too heavy. It's the UFC heavyweight division. You never know what's going to happen. And I think you hit on the head. It's a good representation of what's happening in 2020 right now in this division.
AKA everybody that's around the sport loves Derek Lewis. And he's been saying forever at this point, and he's still being asked about it for some reason. But Derek Lewis like doesn't love MMA. Like he's not tweeting about it. He's not watching it. He puts his pen to the contract. He trains, he fights. And that's the extent of Derek Lewis's connection with MMA. And I can respect that about him. He's hilarious at the same time. It seems the game plan for the Black Beast is pretty obvious. Derek needs to keep it standing. Olenek, although he can pop as well, but his best path to victory is taking this fight to the ground and going for submissions. Do you agree with that as well, AK, or are you just expecting so much chaos here?
Oh, I mean, I'm definitely expecting chaos. That's no question. But I don't know. I don't know how, you know, some of these scrambles that we might see early on, I don't know how many of those you could see if Derek Lewis does get put in scramble situations, because those things take a lot of energy. He's really big. Both guys are really big. Well, I guess Olenek's only 220. He weighed in 227. So I guess he looks like a big, strong guy, right? He's definitely like one of the stronger heavyweights, even though he only weighs 227. So I do think we're actually going to see a few fun scrambles. Chaos definitely will be the order of the day. Lewis is going to try and get those ham hock fists going, you know, which is always fun to see. So this whole card, though, I know we're gonna talk more about the card. I just like the look of it. There's something to it. There's a texture to it, Mike. Can I blow your guys' minds here for a second?
No.
I'm gonna blow your mind here. Okay, so after every fight, you know, we do like a grade the card, right? So I use a different system when grading things in general, including movies. It's like the gymnastics system. Do you guys know how gymnastics works?
No.
Jose, you're a huge gymnastics fan. I know the truck. I know the truck is a big, huge gymnastics fan. You know, the routine has a preset score. And then, you know, if you execute it to a certain level, then you're trying to reach that score. So this card to me has like a preset score of like 9.5. Like, I think it has so much potential for entertainment if so many things go right, and if a few things go wrong, I think it can hit that mark. That's what it needs. So I'm very excited.
High hopes for Alex K. Lee. Jose, do you have an official pick here for this main event between Derek Lewis and Alexi Olenek?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to say it's going to be easy whatsoever, but Alexi Olenek has fought in pretty much a who's who at heavyweight, same as Derek Lewis, save a few names on both ends, which I'm sure we'll talk about on the post-fight show for these winners. Alexi Olenek has fought some of the hardest hitters, like Overeem, Walt Harris. But he's beaten guys like Verdooms and Maurice Greens, the guy fighters that kind of play into his skill set that are good grapplers and whatsoever. Doesn't normally come up in the wins column when he's fighting guys that have heavy hands, like the Curtis Blades, the Overeems, the Walt Harris. So I'm picking Derek Lewis to win. He's already said that his own self assessment his last two fights, where he was gun shy and he promises not to be gun shy this time. I believe Derek Lewis. So I don't know what round it's going to be. I'm probably projecting one of the first two rounds, but I envision Derek Lewis getting peeled off an unconscious Alexei Oleinik tomorrow night.
AK, what do you think? I want to see, I think Casey said this on the A side, I want this fight to go to the fifth round just to see what happens, especially if we get to the last minute of the fifth round. But how do you see this thing playing out?
Man, is this the toughest fight to pick on the card? I'm just kind of looking up and down. It might be the toughest fight, which you don't, which you can't always say about the main event. You know, that's not always the purpose of the main event. I think like you guys, I think I'm, or like Jose is, I'm leaning towards Lewis, but one name that Jose left out, Mark Hunt, which I think fits a little bit of the Derek Lewis hard hitting mold, can be a little wild. And Oleinik beat him. He submitted him. The only thing is, Lewis has only been submitted once. You know, for a guy who I think people have questions about his wrestling and like his ground game, he really doesn't get submitted that often. And the only time was by Daniel Cormier, which I think there's no shame in that. You know, so I'm not going to hedge. I'll say Lewis. I'm picking Lewis. I am picking Lewis, though it might not be by a knockout. We might see kind of a weird decision. So I'm going to say Lewis, but possibly on points, unfortunately.
Yeah, I like the shape Derek Lewis is in. Even though he tipped the scales at 265, it doesn't seem like he had to cut very much to get down there. He's skinny, he's feeling good, he's smiling, pretty good shape. So even if it does go five rounds, I think he might be all right. But I'll go Lewis as well, but this fight is just so wild. It's a coin flip fight for me. But the co-main
I don't even think it's a coin flip. I don't think it's going to be dominant, but I think, like you guys are saying, like Derek Lewis doesn't normally get submitted. I'm sure you guys have all seen that highlight video. It's called like Derek Lewis just doesn't want to be on the ground anymore, where it seems like whenever someone is on top of him, he's like, yeah, I'm over this. And he just like pushes them off. It's one of those things where when you're watching it with friends who don't watch MMA and you see a guy laying on top of another guy, they're like, why don't they just stand up? And then all of us have been in that scenario where like, it's not that easy. You know, it's like there's positioning and stuff like that. But then you watch Derek Lewis fight and they're like, why doesn't he just stand up? And you're like, why isn't it? Well, it's not that easy. And then he just does it. And you're like, well, I guess it is that easy if you're Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is also very much is tall. He's a tall, heavy, heavyweight. Mark Hunt is thick and round and heavy too, but he's pretty much Alexei Oleinik's height. I think Derek Lewis gets it done inside three rounds.
Very well could happen, but I like this fight so much, as AK said, because anything could happen here. It's just wild how this could all play out in so many different ways. But co-main event, we have Omari Akhmedov, the number 11 ranked middleweight in the world, taking on Chris Weidman, the former UFC middleweight champion. Akhmedov unbeaten in his last six. He's unbeaten since making the move to 185. Just had a pretty one-sided win over Ian Heinisch at UFC 245. So, Jose, big opportunity for Omari Akhmedov. He takes on a former champion. Definitely the biggest name he has ever stepped in the octagon or any cage with at this point. And a guy who has lost five out of his last six in Chris Weidman. So which sticks out here in this pretty important fight at 185 pounds?
Well, the thing that just stands out, like right away, Chris Weidman's already said it was harder to get down to 185 than it was in his previous fights. He had that last fight, light heavyweight against Dominic Reyes, a fight you and I were both at in Boston. Chris Weidman didn't look like a small light heavyweight. He looked like a legitimate light heavyweight, especially standing opposite Dominic Reyes, who is the perfect size for 205 pounds. So right out of the gate, you don't like hearing a fighter saying it was hard to make weight, but he made weight nonetheless. Chris Weidman is what, 1-5 in his last few fights, like you said, but who's he losing to? Like not just top 10, but like top five fighters in these divisions. Yeah, he's losing badly. He's losing like the Gegard Mousasi is controversial, but nonetheless, he lost. He's losing to the best of the best. Akhmedov has looked great. He's never fought someone at Chris Weidman's level. It's hard to say like on paper, Chris Weidman should win. I favor Chris Weidman, but just like, look at his last few fights. He's losing and losing badly and losing violently. But he's former champion. He's fought in five rounds a million times. This is only a three-round fight, which I think favors him. It's in a smaller cage, which I think favors him. So I think Chris Weidman gets this done. I don't want to pick a stoppage. I think he'll get it done on points. I think we might see a little tentative Weidman in there because, like I said, he's been knocked out a lot. But Akhmedov isn't going out there and starching people. What he has, like his last few fights have been decisions and a few splits in there too. So he's not going out there and just starching someone like the Dominic Reyes is and the Yoel Romeros of the world. So I favor Chris Weidman. I think he gets back in the win column. He's not going to get a title fight anytime soon. He himself said that, but I think this is the right first step for this is going to be the right first step for Weidman to get back into title contention.
Yeah, I think my first reaction, AK, when they booked this fight was, man, they're just not making it easy on Weidman, because Akhmedov is just kind of that under-the-radar, really good fighter that doesn't lose very often. But this is kind of the best case kind of a matchup for Weidman. If we're not going to push him back outside the top 20, odds makers have it as a near pick him here. Akhmedov can get a nice boost with the win, certainly, but you have to believe there is a lot more at stake for Chris Weidman tomorrow night, right?
There is a lot more at stake. I have to say, I think Jose and the matchmakers may have underestimated kind of how dangerous Akhmedov is. Yes, he's been going to decisions, but he's been going to decisions with like tough guys who I would say are not like knockout susceptible. I mean, anyone is when they get in there, but Ian Heinisch, Zach Cummings, Tim Boach, these guys are pretty durable. So I think it says more about sort of their toughness than it does about Akhmedov's punching power. I think he actually punches pretty hard, and I'm kind of expecting a knockout win for Akhmedov. It sounds terrible to say, but the good news is for Chris Weidman is I think incorrectly picked his last like four fights at 185 pounds. The Reyes pick was obvious. I don't know anyone who picked Weidman for that fight, but 185 pounds. I'm pretty sure I picked him to beat Jacare. I was wrong. Oh, I did pick him to beat Gastelum, so whatever, he pulled that one off. But I think I picked him to beat Musasi, and I think Romero as well. So I've been very hard on the Weidman bandwagon for a long time, and wrong. So now that I'm picking against him at 185, perhaps this will be a reversal of fortunes for Weidman. Not that I believe in that sort of thing, like jinxes or superstitions, but, again, maybe I'm also overestimating Akhmedov's sort of unbeaten middleweight record. Maybe that's not as good as it looks. Maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. But, as you asked, though, a lot on the line for Weidman. I still don't think he has to retire if he loses. You know, I'm sure that's a lot of people will say, or go to another promotion, like go to Bellator. I'm sure that's all the Bellator jokes will come after should he lose again. But I still think he's really competitive. I don't know what has to change. You know what I mean? There's so much stuff that goes on that we don't see. But if he doesn't win on Saturday, something has to change. I just don't know what. I still don't even think light heavyweight, by the way, was that bad of an idea. I think matching him up with Dominic Reyes was a terrible idea. So maybe there's still options there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, kind of as Jose said, this is the first fight maybe in 7 years or so where Weidman isn't facing a top five, maybe top seven-ish guy.
All right. So for you're telling me that a middleweight who has had who's only lost to top five fighters is going up against a fighter who is unbeaten at middleweight in the UFC. And if the veteran loses, it's a where are they going now moment in their career. That sounds awfully familiar. I'm pretty sure we saw that play last weekend and we saw what happened. And Derek Brunson used Edmund Shabazian's head as a basketball. So I'm not going to say Weidman is going to tear through Akhmedov like he did, like Brunson did. But I think Weidman gets it done, especially because his back is against the wall.
Akhmedov is a lot more experienced than Shabazian. I don't think that parallel works at all. I think they're very different fighters.
I'm not saying no one compared Shabazian to Akhmedov. I'm comparing the storyline.
You literally just did.
I'm comparing the storylines between Weidman and Derek Brunson, and we saw what happened.
I don't think they're analogous at all. One guy's on an unbeaten run, and I don't know. I don't see that. But.
And middleweight.
Oh, and they've both. There you go.
And who have they lost to? Jacare, Romero. Pretty similar in past opponents too.
I thought Between the Links was on Mondays or Tuesdays.
Fridays.
I think AK just forgot what happened the last time we were on Between the Links.
how could I forget? I haven't slept since.
Oh, man. But anyways, Weidman's going to go outside of the top 10 for this one. So let's see if he can bounce back with a win. And then we can, go back to this on Saturday and we can say our ha-has and we can go from there. But it's under the radar time. We got some good ones to pick from. AK's already given this card a 9.5 before it even starts. So we'll start with you, the resident prediction guy, Mr. Alex Kaley. What do you predict amongst this 9.5 fight card being the under the radar fight that could steal the show tomorrow night?
I don't know if this fight is under the radar. No, it definitely is under the radar because her last fight also went under the radar, despite it being one of the best fights of the friggin' year. Yana Kuniskaya and Julia Stolyarenko. Now, Stolyarenko is coming in as a replacement for Caitlin Vieira, so there's some people who might not even be sure that this fight was still happening. They might have thought that Vieira was out and Kuniskaya's fight just got canceled. But no, Julia Stolyarenko, former Ultimate Fighter participant, former Invicta Bantamweight champion, technically, that last fight that she was in that I'm talking about, that bloodbath with Lisa Versosa, was a vacant bantamweight title bout. And for anyone who didn't see that, please go to, if you have Fight Pass, please go on and just look up Verzosa and Stolyarenko. It's a 5-round bloodbath that happened the same weekend as Zhang and Joanna, unfortunately. So it may have been forgotten. But I think in some ways, you could argue it's a more entertaining fight. I mean, they're both crazy. They might be the 1 and 2, honestly, best fights by the end of the year. So I think there's some potential there with Kunitskaya. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's going to get up to that level of that 5-round bloodbath. But I do think that Stolyarenko needs a lot more attention. And I'm glad the UFC brought her back. I'm glad she's getting a second shot. She only had the one fight, the finals of the Ultimate Fighter. And I would definitely say it's flying under the radar and that people need to pay attention to this women's bantamweight bout. It could be a good one.
We did have a few hiccups on the scale. Laureano Staropoli and Tim Means both missed weight for their welterweight fight. Tim Means got back on the scale about 45 minutes later. He made the weight, and now he's getting 20% of Staropoli's purse after missing weight the first time. How about that for drama? Also, Beneil Dariush missed weight for his fight with Scott Holtzman. Holtzman will get 20% of Dariush's purse. That's the first time Dariush has missed weight in his entire career. But with all that sprinkled into the proverbial mixing bowl, Jose, what fight is sneaking up in your eyes on everybody that should be buckle up to watch this kind of a scenario tomorrow night?
I'm really interested in how Nazareth Hasparak bounces back after his last loss. I believe it was to Drew Dober. And our former co-worker, Pete Carroll, has been singing Nazareth's praises for a very long time. I know he trains at TriStar up in Montreal. So it's always, anytime someone's from TriStar fights, you kind of have to pay attention to just because of the history of that gym. Nazareth lost badly to Drew Dober in a fight that I picked him to win. But if you go back and watch that fight, it was a really lazy leg kick he threw blocking right thing. He just ate a punch and got dropped bad. Drew Dober has looked unbelievable since then. So I'm really curious how he bounces back from a loss. I selfishly really, I'm always interested in watching Darren Stewart fight just because he's a really interesting individual and our interests in music line up pretty cohesively. After his fight in Boston, he's like, yeah, the UFC doesn't even like fighters from the UK. They like cut my music and this and that. So he's an interesting cat to watch. I don't know if he'll win. I know he was one of those, like, was he the only fight that fought on Cage Warriors? I know he was booked for that UFC London card, and then when it fell out, they randomly stuck him on that Cage Warriors card just to keep his fight going.
So, him and Fabinski, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm always love watching the Dennis fight. I think he beat Daron Wynn in Boston, if I'm not mistaken. So in Daron Wynn at the time, I know he was coming off a loss, or it might have been one of his first few losses. So he had a lot of hype coming behind him. So not so much fights, but I'm really interested in see how specific fighters handle bouncing back off a loss. But off the top of my head, Stewart and Hasparak stick out in my mind.
I think you guys both know where I'm going with this. I'm going to New England. Get to see the New England Scrapper make his UFC debut. And I think I'm in a good place here, regardless if I'm playing the New England bias, because Peter Barrett is going to fight Yusuf Salal tomorrow night at 145 pounds.
Peter Barrett,
Slippery Pete, as the great Jed Meshew says on Between the Links, this is two guys throwing bolos at each other, and I cannot wait to see how this thing plays out between two lions at 145 pounds, because Salal probably has the advantage in a lot of places, but Barrett's going to sit there and take them all and fire back. So especially if that fight gets to the third round, I can't wait to see how that thing goes down. Before we say goodbye here, we've had this has been a pretty big news day, a very big news day. We found out Corey Anderson has signed with Bellator, and we also found out that we have 225-pound title fights set for UFC 255 or 256, I don't even know at this point, in November. We get Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt, and we have Valentina Shevchenko defending her title against Jennifer Maia. Jose, let's start with you. I don't think surprise is the right word, seeing Cody Garbrandt in here, but what is your reaction to this, having Garbrandt skip the queue and drop down and get a title fight here?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me because we've seen this a million times. I mean, the UFC has made it known they really like Cody Garbrandt. They want to put the marketing machine behind him. I mean, he got a rematch with TJ Dillashaw after getting knocked out badly in Madison Square Garden. And then he got knocked out again in Los Angeles. So as soon as he beat Rafael dos Anjos, I go, they're either going to give him Peter Yan, because him and Peter Yan have history, or he's going to drop down and fight the winner. If Figueiredo had one, because of course Benavidez and him do have history at Team Alpha Male. Figueiredo won, and my first thought, Alex Perez should be the next in line. Alex Perez won't fight for the title next, and it'll probably be Cody Garbrandt. I think we were all in agreement that if it had happened, it should have been Perez, Figueiredo, and then Askarov and Moreno. should have run it back and kind of done a final four. Then Cody Garbrandt is one of those anomalies that they just kind of insert into the mix just because he is such a well-known, well, he has like 2.3 million Instagram followers. He's a well-spoken kid. He's a good looking kid, knockout power. So does his privacy whatsoever. Feel really bad for Alex Perez. I think he needs to be ready for that card. We've talked about before we went on air, he should fight Manel Cape on that card. If Cody Garbrandt can't make weight, cause this is his flyweight debut, Alex Perez used to jump up in there and fight Figueiredo and Askarov, or Figueiredo and Perez should fight, and then Moreno and Askarov should be on that card running it back anyway. And then all is right with the flyweight division and what is just. So, yeah, weird fight. Not surprised, but I feel bad for Alex Perez because I think he did more than enough to earn that title fight.
Yeah, you get a feel for Perez. You get a feel for Brandon Moreno as well. Alex, what do you think? I don't think you're surprised by this, but are you happy with this? Do you think this is a good thing for 25? What are your thoughts on this?
Bring in all the flyweights for that weekend. Fly them all in for a little flyweight party. Keep the catering light. Make sure everyone call up. What's Demetrius Johnson doing that weekend? Call him up. Just ask. Just hey, just come on down to Vegas or wherever the fight's going to be that weekend. Cejudo. Cejudo's always talking crap. Hey, Cejudo, can you still make 125? Okay, get your butt down here and get ready to step in because I think the matchup is cool. But like we said, we don't know what's going to go. I'm fairly confident Garbrandt can make the weight. I don't know. He's a good sized bantamweight, but I don't think he's never like overly massive. I never looked at him and been like, oh, okay, well, there's no way this guy can drop to 125. I'm like, yeah, okay, he could probably do it. And I'll admit I was skeptical when Dillashaw said he could do it, but after seeing him make it, I'm like, okay, maybe these guys know themselves a little better than we think. So I'm not too worried, but I do think it'd be a good idea to have one, if not two backups. Like you said, maybe just book Alex Perez for a fight and tell Alex Perez and his opponent, make sure you hit 125 on the dot this week, just in case we would consider either of you should something happen and Cody can't make it. But yeah, look, I want to see Cody Garbrandt fight Davidson Figueiredo. That's a cool fight. If you just in a void on paper, cool, great looking fight. I just wish the UFC had more patience, more patience with Cody's career, more patience with Figueiredo's title defenses. I hate that they have to rush into these things, but in a void, it's a very cool looking fight. It's just, I really feel like we could build up to it and make it something bigger, but the matchup itself, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think I could agree with that. But
and it's good for all Joe. Sorry. I should say this is good for all Joe.
Maybe.
Give all Joe his 135-pound title shot. There you go. That's the two wrongs. Multiple wrongs can make a right. This clears his path for all Joe. Okay. No more Garbrandt Garbrandt talk at 135. All Joe, go get your title shot.
I will say I've been told that there has been absolutely zero discussions about Jan versus Aljamain Sterling to this point. This is like earlier this week. So not one word has been said about that fight from anybody. So we'll see what happens there at 135 pounds. And we'll make this quick because I think everyone looks at Shevchenko versus Maia as like, well, maybe, but probably not kind of a thing. So AK, from a scale of 1 to 10,
Maria,
how much
Agapova. Chance? sorry. I jumped again. Sorry. That's all inside. Sorry. We had a discussion before the show. I missed my cue. My bad. I'm sorry.
How much of a chance are we giving Jennifer Maia here from a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, I like Maia. I think she's a better fighter than people think. I think she's a better fighter than her UFC record shows. I think she's one of the harder hitters at 125. I know it doesn't show in the results. She doesn't have one punch knockouts, but frankly, there isn't a lot of that at 125. I mean, even Shevchenko, the champion, is not like someone who would say is a one hit killer, except for the Jessica Eye fight, of course. But Maya's got good power, great ground game, enough, I think, to certainly challenge Shevchenko down there. But I mean, right, realistically, it's just hard to imagine a scenario where Shevchenko again is not like a 10-1 favorite, a double digit favorite. And again, that's no disrespect to Maya. It's just how high up Valentina Shevchenko is compared to the rest of her division right now.
Jose?
1% chance. I always give everyone an opportunity. There are obviously fighters that there are obviously fights that I've not given any of them to. I won't say them out loud. I thought there was a 0% chance they would win, and that's exactly what happened. They didn't win. But I think AK said it well. I think she's very underrated. But Valentina has just looked like Anderson Silva of like the mid 2000s, where no, it doesn't matter who you put in there. Doesn't matter how big of a tear they're on. Doesn't matter how deserving. And she is deserving. She is the rightful number one contender. I don't think any of us are going to argue that after she submitted Joanna Calderwood, who had already locked up that number one contender fight against Valentina before deciding to take a fight in between then and now. Man, I don't know. I'm trying to if the fight goes to the ground, maybe. But I think Valentina wins comfortably, and I think it'll be a showcase fight. But that fight is so far away. Jennifer Maia has missed two of the last three fights. What was it, against Chookagian and against Roxanne Modafari? So, but she made weight. She was also the first one to weigh in when she fought Joanne Calderwood. And I think she came in at 124.5, so she came in under championship weight. So she's got her weight down. That's the first step. But two of three, she's batting. She's only batting 330, 33% right now, and making weight. I want to see once she hits the scale, then we can talk. But yeah, I favor Valentina Shevchenko pretty heavily in that fight.
I would like to see this be like a flyweight showcase. We've seen some like UFC cards in the past where there's a heavyweight title fight up top, but then like the whole main card is just like heavyweight fights. I kind of want to see this with the 25ers. If we're really doing this Cody Garbrandt thing to put extra eyeballs on the 125 pound division, then put extra eyes on the 125 pound division and just load up this main card with fun fights at 125 pounds. If they don't do that, then I'm going to have an even bigger problem with this fight, but you know, it's fun. I just would have liked to see the Perez's or the Morenos or the Askarovs get their chance first. But we're looking to this weekend. There's a lot of fun fights on this card. We got your back, ladies and gentlemen, with all your coverage right here on MMAfighting.com. We got Bellator coming up tonight as well. But we're done here. Another preview show on the books for Jose Youngs and Alex K. Lee. I am Mike Heck. We will see you tomorrow night.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.